Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Hajj Step by Step. If you've been tuning into our program, you followed along with us through a complete Umrah, and now we're ready to move on to a very important stage of Hajj. We're at the eighth day of Dhul Hijjah. I'm Musa McGuire, your host, and with us is Sheikh Muhammad Salah as our guide for Hajj. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, Sheikh, we've gone through the Ihram, we've gone through a Tawaf, we've gone through Sa'i and Tahallul, if it's appropriate, depending on the kind of Hajj that you've chosen. But now we've reached the eighth day. What is significant about this eighth day? What is it known as and what does it mark?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Praise be to Allah who prays Him and who seek His help. Whomsoever Allah guides is the truly guided one. And whomsoever Allah leads astray, no one can show him guidance. We all bear witness that there is no God who is worthy of worship but Allah. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his last messenger. Well, on the eighth day of the month of Dhul Hijjah, this is where and when the actual activities of the Hajj begin. This day is also known as Yawm al-Tarwiyah. The scholars trace the origin of that name to either this is the day on which the Imam would narrate from riwayah to the pilgrims the ceremonies of Hajj and how to perform Hajj and so forth, and that's why it was called Yawm al-Tarwiyah, or to another origin where on that day the water bearers would give water to people to drink and so on from Rawi al-Ma, and it's also known as Yawm al-Tarwiyah because of that. On other case, on Yawm al-Tarwiyah, people who came to Mecca with the intention of performing Umrah and Hajj, Umrah to Tamattu', and they have already exited from the state of Ihram, and they have been enjoying At-Tahallul for some time, now on that day they're going to renew their intention and assuming a new intention to commence on Ihram. But this time, to commence on Ihram for Hajj by saying لبيك اللهم حجا لا رياء فيه ولا سمعة. Here, O Allah, we come to you to perform Hajj without showing off sincerely to you. Of course, a person who came with the intention of doing Hajj al-Quran is already in a state of Ihram, so there is no need to renew the intention. Similarly, a person who came only to perform Hajj from the very beginning.
Sheikh, I want to ask a question here that comes up with this issue of declaring intention. You've talked a lot about when certain pillars of Hajj are not fulfilled, that it invalidates the Hajj.
Correct.
What about somebody who makes the sincere intention, but something happens and they're not able to complete the Hajj? Is this excused, or is there some way that they can secure that they're not violating any rules?
I'm glad you brought up this issue. As a matter of fact, I personally have seen somebody who went for Hajj three consecutive times. On each time, he wasn't able to perform Hajj. Somehow, that he would get sick before the day of Arafah, and they would have to fly him back 3 years. It's amazing. So just having the tickets and the visa in your pocket doesn't really mean that you're going for Hajj, or even by being in Mecca, it doesn't mean that you would definitely do Hajj. And that's why, since we don't know the knowledge of the unseen, if one is afraid of being sick, especially with chronic illnesses and so on, it's recommended for them to say what the Prophet ﷺ advised one of his companions with. The hadith is related to a woman by the name Duba'ah bint Zubayr. The Prophet ﷺ asked her that whether she was planning to go for Hajj or not. She said, Ya Rasulullah, I am sick and I'm afraid that I will not be able to do it. So the Prophet ﷺ advised her to go for Hajj and to put a condition. He said, Hujji washtarati, meaning go for Hajj and put a condition by saying at the time of making the intention of Ihram, وَمَحِلِّي حَيْثُ حَبَسْتَنِي. The word mahilli refers to the state of tahallul. حَيْثُ حَبَسْتَنِي is wherever you restrain me by anything that's out of my control, by getting sick, by not being able to finish the ceremonies of Hajj. In this case, if a person put that condition at the time of assuming the intention of Ihram, then something happened. He or she were not able to complete Hajj. They will be off the state of Ihram without owing any penalty and without need to complete the rites of Hajj.
Sheikh, going back to this eighth day, what exactly are the procedures for one who's beginning this process or this step of Hajj?
Well, if you're already in Mecca on the eighth day, we said that if you're making Hajj al-Tamattu, this is the day that you're going to make a new intention for the performance of Hajj by saying Labbaik Allahumma Hajjan la riya'a fihi wa la sum'a. If you had already made an intention for Hajj al-Ifrad a while ago or Hajj al-Quran, you don't need to make a new intention. On that morning, on the eighth day of Dhul Hijjah, you pray Fajr in Mecca. Then after the assuming the intention of Ihram, you would move to Mina. Mina is not far away from Mecca, but this is an area which is just tents there. No hotels, no luxury. Everybody would sleep on the floor, perhaps carpets, live in tents. Everybody would be equal, would feel that we're all the same before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the great meanings of Hajj, to make us all feel the same and equal to one another. We'll get to pray our regular prayers in Mina as follows. Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, during the regular times. But the only difference is that we're going to shorten the four rak'ah prayers. So Dhuhr, Asr, and Isha, we're going to pray them two rak'ah each instead of four. Maghrib and Isha will be offered as regular. This was the practice of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even though Mina is very close to Mecca, but we're following strictly the footsteps and the guidelines of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, since he said, "Khudu anni manasikakum." We're going to spend the night there in Mina, outdoor life, very lovely. You feel that you are disassociating yourself from any worldly luxury, from any worldly interest, just focusing on one thing. منها خلقناكم وفيها نعيدكم ومنها نخرجكم تارة أخرى. This ground and earth around you, from that you're created, and into it you're going to be returned, and from it Allah is going to resurrect you once again. Humble yourself, feel tranquility while you are in those blessed moments in Mina.
What kind of activity should we occupy ourselves with throughout this time? Because it seems like it's obviously, from what you say, a time of a lot of reflection. But what else can we do?
Unfortunately, for many people, it's a good opportunity to chit-chat and talk about others, sometimes backbiting, get to know other people, and so on. What's best is to keep your tongue busy with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have any question concerning the upcoming events, go ahead and ask a learned person. If not, then recite the Qur'an, remember Allah the Almighty, do anything that's useful, and try to occupy yourself especially with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and avoid any side conversation that would divert you from the main purpose of this journey. You spend the night in Mina, you rest and you prepare yourself for the big day. The big day is the ninth day of the month of Dhul Hijjah. This is the most important day. Not only in Hajj, but in life in general. This is the day of Arafah. This is the day in which the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Hajj Arafah. Hajj is all about Arafah. That the main and the most important pillar of Hajj is to stand at the valley of Arafah on the day of Arafah, which is the ninth day of Dhul Hijjah. How to move and when and so on. According to the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you get to pray Fajr in Mina, the Fajr of the morning of the ninth day of Dhul Hijjah. then you pray duha as well in Mina. Then you start moving towards Arafat. However, I would have to share with you some facts here. Due to the crowds and the rush, it's not expected that over 2 or 3 million pilgrims would move all at the same time and would get there at the same time. So that's why some groups would tend to leave earlier. It's okay. It's just not the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If conditions which were much more convenient would say yes, try to stick to the traditions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and every footstep he taught. But if they decide to leave early, or they reach Arafat later than everybody else, as long as it is within the prescribed time, it is okay. What is the prescribed time for Arafat on that day? It is from Az-Zawal, which is when the sun moves from its meridian, basically, which is noon or a little bit after noon, and until the Fajr of the next morning. This entire time is the time of standing at Arafat. If the pilgrim catches up during any time at the valley or the mountain of Arafat during this time, he or she have fulfilled the mandatory act of being at Arafat on the day of Arafat. But this is not what's best. What's best is to be there at Arafat from the time of after Duha, before noon, and until sunset. So actually the best time is from Dhuhr till sunset. When we get to Arafah, there is a sermon will be delivered by the Imam a little bit before Dhuhr time. Then whenever it is Dhuhr time, the Muazzin will call Adhan. Then there will be an Iqamah right away because there will not be any Nawafil. And the Imam would lead the Salah where the Imam would pray Dhuhr and Asr together at the time of Al-Dhuhr. Dhuhr will be offered 2 rak'ahs shortened, and Asr will be offered 2 rak'ahs shortened as well. Each prayer would have an independent Iqamah, but only one Adhan. Then you've got the most precious time in your life to gain forgiveness, to fulfill all your demands and answer all your dua from that time until sunset.
Sheikh, I want to give this issue all the attention it deserves, but we have to take a break now. So let's do that. When we come back, we'll talk more about Arafah. Please stay with us for that. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Hajj Step by Step. We're talking about Yawmul Arafat. Before the break, you had mentioned that this is really perhaps the best time in our whole lives, this day of standing on Arafat. What are the best activities with which we can occupy ourselves on this day?
Well, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the sound hadith, خَيْرُ الدُّعَاءِ دُعَاءُ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةِ. The best supplication ever is the one which is made during the day of Arafah. وَخَيْرُ مَا قُلْتُ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ قَبْلِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And he's also guiding us to the best statement that he himself uttered, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or any of the prophets before him, which is the word, the phrase of the oneness of Allah. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. There is no partner to him. له الملك وله الحمد. To him belong the praise and the dominion. يحيي ويميت. He gives life and he gives death. وهو على كل شيء قدير. And he is indeed able to do all things. So increase making this dua and supplication during the day of Arafah. Waste no time. There is no time to talk about anything else but dhikr, istighfar, and supplication.
Sheikh, what about the talbiyah? We haven't mentioned that in a while. Should we still be mentioning the talbiyah on Hajj at this stage?
This is actually one of the best times to increase making talbiyah. If you remember, we said in the past, once you assume the intention of ihram, for men particularly, they should speak out loud, raise their voice with the talbiyah while they are getting on the bus, getting off the bus, going uphill, going downhill to a valley, traveling, going up in the elevator, down, make talbiyah whenever you remember, and remind everybody around you to make at-talbiyah. Is such a great blessing to make at-talbiyah, especially during this sacred time.
Sheikh, we talked before about each pillar of Hajj and the conditions that establish its validity. What are the conditions for Arafah?
Well, for Arafah, like any other pillar of Hajj, that the pilgrim has to do it by himself. You cannot send somebody on your behalf. You have to be there. You have to stand, sit, or lie. You have to be there at the valley of Arafah. And it's got to be on the ninth day of Arafah. That reminds me with a joke, as I was once giving a lecture. I said that this is a day where the valley of Arafah will be very, very occupied, because it's only one day. Afterward, it becomes empty. So one of the those who were attending said, so why don't we go on the next day instead of the ninth? So it's one of the conditions of the validity of standing at Arafah. It's got to be on the ninth day and before the Fajr of the 10th day.
Sheikh, when we talk about standing at Arafah, now a lot of us have trouble even standing for a few minutes in prayer, and then we try really hard in Ramadan to stand for an hour or two at night. So the thought of standing for the whole afternoon can seem a little daunting. Is it actually required to stand the whole time at Arafah?
No, not at all. A person may sit, may lie down, may sit in a car. The main thing, do not waste this time by making any other activities other than a dhikr wal ibadah, seeking forgiveness and making supplications. I would like to seize this opportunity, and I would like to warn many brothers who came all the way to perform this lifetime journey, and they do not really appreciate that gift which is in their hands. So you find some people smoking on the day of Arafah. It's like, you know, they're begging Allah for forgiveness, and they're saying, here, I'm challenging you. Smoking is haram. You're asking Allah to forgive you, and you're challenging Him with the sin. This is a day of purity. You know, once sun sets, once this day is over, you will be just 1 hour old. You will be as the same day you were born, sinless. So do not ruin this day by any sin. Make it a turning point in your life instead.
What about the images we often see of people competing to climb the actual mount of Arafah? Is that necessary, or is this something that distracts from the real purpose?
This is one of the misconceptions which this show is all about, explaining them, trying to remove and eliminate them from the mind of the pilgrims and those who are planning to go for Hajj in the future, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood close to the mountain of Arafah on the stones and rocks there, and said, "Waqaftu huna," I stood here, "wa Arafatu kulluha mawqif." The whole valley of Arafah is a valid place for standing at, except Wadi Urana, except a place which is nearby, a valley nearby Arafah, which is known as Urana. A part of that occupies the front yard of Masjid Namira, which you see in the videos normally during the khutbah of Arafah. You see the front part of the masjid, no pilgrims, no people are wearing the ihram sitting there. Why? Because this area is not a part of Arafah. Otherwise, being in your tent, being in your car, being at the mountain, you don't have to make a special effort to get there, hurt yourself, some people fall. Some people waste this time by taking pictures, taking shots for memories. If you would like to have the best memory, shed tears right there. Cry. Beg Allah for mercy. Remember all your loved ones in your prayer. This is the best thing that you can do to benefit yourself and others on the day. Not the pictures, not wasting your time and chit-chatting with others, getting to know them, exchanging business cards, making business deals. This is not the right time. This is the time of making ibadah. You know, in regular days, the Prophet ﷺ said that Arafah is the best day. Observing fasting on the day would forgive all the sins of the past year and the sins of a year to come for just fasting on the day. But for the pilgrims, it's recommended not to fast, to the point that in the 7th hadith, the companions wanted to verify that whether the Prophet ﷺ was fasting or not, so they sent to him a cup of milk. So he drank it to show them. Why did the Prophet ﷺ instruct them and us not to fast on that day? Do you know why? So that we can eat enough and drink to make us strong and able to worship Allah and stand in prayer and supplication, especially the couple of hours before sunset. Just feel very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cry for all your sins. Ask Allah to accept your hajj and to make you a better person. This day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah by himself would look at his servants and would free them from the fire of hell. And he would be proud of them before his angels, saying to his angels, what do you think those people came for? And he knows best, they came asking for forgiveness, asking for mercy, which he would definitely grant whomever he wills on that day. So try your utmost to be one of them. And whenever you see somebody absent-minded, does he realize that he has in his hand the best jewel, the best gift in life? Remind them, direct them to utilize best this beautiful time.
Sheikh, a few times throughout this program and other programs, you've mentioned that there are ideal times to accomplish certain tasks. There are sunnah recommendations for how to manage the time during Hajj, but then there's also obligations that have to be fulfilled. What about people who leave Arafah before sunset and they don't return? Is this acceptable, or have they really lost this day?
We said about the best time, it is between Dhuhr, and of course you pray Dhuhr and Asr, till Maghrib, till sunset. If anybody appears at Arafah, then leaves before sunset, their standing is accepted. They have fulfilled the rukn. So their hajj will be complete, inshallah, if they finish it all. But it's incomplete in a sense that they did not do what's mandatory, which is to wait until sunset. How would a person miss this opportunity? This is a time of forgiveness. Why would you leave early? For any reason. For what reason, why would you leave early? But if somebody still insisted and he left early and did not come back before sunset, he has to offer a penalty or a ransom of slaughtering a sheep to be slaughtered and distributed in Mecca for this great violation.
Now, you also mentioned before that technically the time of standing goes until Fajr the next day.
Correct.
Is it conceivable that somebody would just be so late that they would get there after Maghrib? And in this case, is it still valid?
You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful. One would say, why would I have to come late? But the fact of the matter that many people are stuck in the traffic, and some people actually weren't able to reach there before sunset. What to do with those people? Ruin their hajj? So out of mercy, they may go there even after sunset and stand there, and that would count as they stood at Arafah on the 9th day, which is the day of Arafah. This is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Now, I want to shift gears a little to ask a slightly more technical question, but of course we're trying to cover as much as we can in these programs. Since there is a khutbah on the day of Arafat, occasionally this would fall on a Friday, and you may have a conflict with the Jummah khutbah. Is this a conflict, or which one takes precedence over the other?
There is no conflict whatsoever. Once a Jewish man said to Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, man, you have a verse in your Qur'an. If this verse was revealed to us in the Torah, we would have made the day of its revelation a Eid day, a festival. He said, which verse is it? He said, the verse which reads, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نَعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Today, I have completed for you your religion and perfected the message for you and completed my favor upon you. Umar ibn Khattab said, by Allah, I know where this ayah was revealed and when. And by Allah, it was revealed on a Eid day. It was revealed on the day of Arafah. And it was a Friday. So that means the Hajj, which the Prophet ﷺ performed, Hajjatul Wada', was on the day of Arafah, which coincided with Friday. But they did not offer Salatul Jum'ah, nor Khutbatul Jum'ah. So the khutbah or the sermon of the day of Arafah was sufficient, and they just prayed Dhuhr and Asr combined together at the time of Dhuhr by shortening Dhuhr 2 rak'ahs and Asr 2 rak'ahs with a separate Iqamah for each, and they did not pray Salatul Jum'ah on the day.
Sheikh, a few times you've mentioned that, of course, having the accepted Hajj, the only reward for that is paradise. And of course, this Arafah, Day of Arafah, is a crucial component of that. We only have a short time left, but is there any words you can say in terms of how to sense whether this Day of Arafah is being accepted, or whether it's accepted by Allah, or again, what can we do to really try to assure that?
Well, everybody can really determine by examining himself and having a self-assessment. People who keep themselves busy all day with loading up their stomach with food because they know that next stop is going to be Al-Muzdalifah. There is not enough food there, just desert. So they stuff their stomach like they're stuffing a duffel bag. They cannot stand to make dua. Rather, they would have the urge of answering the call of nature, running back and forth. They just wasted and ruined the whole day. But people would stand with humility and would shed tears, would cry, and would ask Allah for forgiveness sincerely from the bottom of their hearts, that's a sign that they are sincere in their intention. And that's a sign that Allah is looking at them, and Allah is going to honor the request and forgive them their sins. First of all, this day is your day. You came all the way for this day. Al-Hajj Arafah. You do your utmost to utilize every moment in the day the best way.
Well, alhamdulillah, we've come through the day of Arafah now, but there is still more of Hajj ahead of us, which we don't want to neglect. So we'll be back in future episodes to deal with those issues and those events. Please stay with us and please stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا